Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
En los otros días de Semana Santa, por lo menos donde vivo yo, no.
¡Cuidado! ¡El remate de Stuani! ¡Doble! ¡Gol, gol, gol! ¡Del Girona! ¡Doble remate de Stuani!
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host Matt Clark, here to reflect on match day 30 in La Liga in the company of Ben Sully. How are you, Ben? Happy Easter.
I'm happy to be on as always. Yeah, just looking forward to talking about more Spanish football, even if it was a quiet weekend in terms of goals.
It certainly was, yeah. I think only 14 goals across the weekend, 35% of which came in one game, which we'll get onto very, very quickly. And yeah, as you just pointed out to me off air, Ben, only one game with both teams scoring, so not a great one for the old BTTS on the old bet slip, but... let's go to the game where there were goals, and it was a massive match for both sides. Betis headed to Montilivi off the back of a run of three straight defeats, while Girona were looking to get back on the winning horse at home. And it was a real topsy-turvy game, Ben, because Girona took the lead twice, Betis pegged them back twice. It was Dovbyk and William Jose, both with braces. Dovbyk, of course, off the back of Ukraine's qualification for the European Championships, back on the score sheet for Girona today. And then it was a late winner from Christian Stuani. Of course, it had to be him in the pouring rain in Montilivi.
Yeah, like you said, a massive game for both teams in terms of their respective objectives. Obviously, Real Betis trying to get top seven, top six, and Girona hanging on for the Champions League places. And yeah, massive result for Girona. You look at it and you think, okay, if they come out of that game of a point, taking the lead on two occasions, that really could have a knock-on effect in their Champions League bid, especially as at the moment they are relying so much on that home form. So to get over the line, brilliant finish from Stuani to score at the end. He had to kind of react from his own rebound and somehow adjust his body to squirm it over the line. But yeah, it was massive for Girona, obviously, in the fact that boost there. Their Champions League hopes and their hopes of hanging on for a top four spot. And then for Betis, it just continues their kind of slump at the moment, which is really, really going to have a knock-on effect on their European hopes. Obviously, depending if seventh place becomes a European spot as well. But yeah, that Stuani goal at the end was such an important goal for both those teams, because it gives Girona a massive boost, and Betis from fighting back from behind on a couple of occasions, even if they come out of that with a draw, they obviously would have liked the win, but if they came out of the draw, they would have taken a little bit of confidence from that in the manner. But yeah, it's for them another defeat.
Well, we'll touch on Betis in just a second, but as you say, for Girona, that really felt momentous at the end there. You see Michel going mad in the rain, the celebrations. He was fantastic post-match as well. I think he was saying that because now I think Girona are well clear of seventh, puts them 23 points ahead of Betis with only 24 points available. So that almost all but guarantees a top seven finish. and in all likelihood a European place of some description. And Michel was saying, yes, Stuani is the most important player in Girona's history. He will wear the captain's armband in the first game in Europe. It just felt like such a moment. You know, the rain helped massively with the kind of setting the scene, but Stuani's celebration, the team realising they've got another win with another late goal, which is becoming their trademark. And yeah, just to get that winning feeling back. Talk us through your feelings on Girona as we head into the final stretch of the season.
Well, I think that's quite a key point you made in regards to, obviously, I'm sat here kind of talking about their Champions League hopes, but to reiterate, that to get into Europe is a massive achievement. Obviously, they would be disappointed if they weren't to get Champions League, but just to be there, obviously, last year they went a bit close and they kind of fell away towards the end of the season. So to get that over the line, to where they're now, obviously, it is a massive achievement for them. In regards to kind of the next few weeks, there are obviously still a few hurdles to overcome, but that Stuani goal is massive because you look, obviously, talk in a minute, but obviously Athletic Club have lost, so you potentially look at a gap that has had the risk of closing is now a decent gap to Athletic Club, and Atletico Madrid behind. Obviously, big game still coming up, and their away form is still needs some work. But yeah, I think now they are. I'd be going into the international break. I was a bit concerned about whether they could get caught, but I think that result for me, I think I'd be surprised if they didn't get Champions League. Now I think they probably might struggle to get second spot from Barcelona, but I think they will get third. And it's just a massive win for the club, a really big day. It's incredible. It's been an incredible season, and I think, yeah, we can't get lost in the fact that just to get into Europe is remarkable.
Indeed. And only Real Madrid have scored more than Girona. Atletico play Villarreal on Monday night, and we know their away form is pretty ropey in recent times. And Girona's next game is a trip to the Metropolitano. So while that's a tough one on paper, if they were to get a result there, that would almost certainly lock up a top four spot, you would imagine, because Atleti wouldn't be able to gain any ground. And crucially, that game does come in between the Dortmund games, in between the first and second legs of the Champions League quarterfinal. So Girona may just sniff a little bit of an opportunity there as well. As for Betis then, they were looking so good a little while back, but then they were knocked out of Europe. Then they beat Athletic Club, and you say, this is how Pellegrini responds. This shows the kind of quality that he has and the squad has. They're back on the horse. They're not letting the real disappointment of European knockout, you know, knock them off their league form. But then we have had a really poor run, 4 defeats in a row. They're now very much in danger of being cut adrift from the top 6. They're now 7 points behind Real Sociedad, having been ahead of them at the start of that mini run. And if Valencia win their game in hand against Granada, which seems probable, then it's Valencia who will leapfrog them into 7th. So for Betis, it's a really concerning run of form, isn't it?
Yep, yeah. Defensively, in that spell of form, they've been very poor. Obviously, you had Isco back in for the Girona game, and although he did his best, that obviously didn't have a direct impact on the result. And it is a big slump, and I don't see them. Even if they manage to turn it round now, I don't see them catching Real Sociedad. But yeah, they've got to try and get it back on track to cling on to 7th, because there's a whole host of teams. They're inviting a lot of teams back into this kind of top 7 race, if it does indeed become that. And that's all through their poor form. They like I said, they really are struggling defensively. Maybe, Girona obviously a good attacking team, so there's no great shame in that, but it's in the other games they've also looked vulnerable as well. So it's going to be a big job for Pellegrini to kind of turn that around in the next few weeks, especially I think the Seville derby, I believe, is at the end
on
of
the
this
horizon.
Month. Mm. Yeah, so you want to get a bit of momentum and kind of a bit of confidence into the team before you get to that.
Yeah, they play Celta on the Friday night game in a couple of weeks. I mean, that's huge for both, of course. Then they head to Mestalla to face Valencia before, like you just said, the home game against Sevilla, which the fans will, you know, they're not allowed to lose that game, of course, at home. Yeah, tough times for Betis. Let's see if they can pick a bit of form back up. Heading back to the top then, Real Madrid took on Athletic Club. We've kind of touched on Athletic Club dropping points, and that is because Real Madrid did what they do best, and that is win in La Liga. That's their 23rd victory out of 30 matches. They've only lost once, which was, of course, the Madrid derby away from home. They restored their eight-point advantage over Barcelona with just eight games to go. No Vinny for this one, but Rodrigo stepped up with a brace. Two fabulous goals, it must be said. And yeah, there's no stopping them, is there?
No. Obviously, it had the risk for Real Madrid to be a tricky game going up against Athletic Club. I know there's a kind of maybe a trail of thought that Athletic Club also have one eye on the cup final. But it had, yeah, it could have been a tricky game, but especially without Vinicius in the side. But if you don't get caught by one Brazilian, maybe the other one comes and gets you. Because, Rodrigo was excellent. With no Vinicius in the team, he had that kind of license to roam off the left side a bit more. Brilliant goal. His first goal was unbelievably well taken. It felt relatively comfortable for Real Madrid. Obviously didn't get the second goal to the last 20 minutes, but they never really felt in trouble during the game. It always felt like they had it under control, and there was pressure on them coming into it. Obviously Barcelona cutting the deficit with their win, so there was pressure. Say they drew or lost that, and then you got the Clasico in a few weeks, that maybe, okay, you could risk bringing Barcelona back into it. But anytime you have the kind of faintest of thought that there might be a title race, they are just so clinical and ruthless. They just take it away from us as neutrals. But from their perspective, it's just job done. It's get this done, get it over the line, and then on to the next.
Yeah, well on course for 90 points. And Rodrigo's brace puts him onto 10 goals for the La Liga season. That's three players into double figures. And in all competitions, that's three players on 15 or more goals, which only Man City in the top five leagues of Europe can match. And guess what? The next game is Manchester City. So let's have a brief word on that, because Pep Guardiola has been quite critical of the English schedule. City having to play many games in between now and that game. Real Madrid now have no further games. City now have to play midweek and at the weekend again in lunchtime slot before the first leg. Do you think this extra time will be a benefit to Real Madrid to be able to plan more effectively for the game?
I don't know if it would be a benefit for Real Madrid, as rather maybe a hindrance to Man City. Obviously for Man City, that's two more games that maybe not necessarily from a fatigue standpoint, but obviously it's two games that you risk injury for maybe key players. And from their perspective, I can see why Pep's kind of frustrated and annoyed. But part of it is not even scheduling. If Real Madrid had been in the cup final, they would have been playing between now and the Champions League game. So, I don't see it being a great advantage. Obviously, at this the highest level and in a massive kind of tie, it's always good to have the smallest of advantages. But I don't see it being of great benefit for Real Madrid, because even if they were playing a league game, say they were playing a bottom half league team next week, there'd be probably rotations in there anyway. So I think it's probably more of a hindrance to Man City than a benefit to Real Madrid.
Perhaps so. Well, that's another bit of good news for Real Madrid was the return of Eder Militao after being on the sidelines for so long with that cruciate ligament injury. He did return to the Bernabeu. And got, of course, warmly applauded by the fans. One thing I did want to raise was the kits, which Real Madrid were in purple, Athletic Club were in white. So for many unsuspecting fans who just wandered into the Bernabeu, took their seats and looked down at the pitch, may have been wondering why the majority of the fans were cheering for the team in purple and not white. But it was, in fact, because Real Madrid were promoting a new jersey, which had been designed specifically. And that, of course, is purple. And Athletic's away kit is indeed white, so a very strange spectacle at first to get used to, Ben.
Yeah, I feel a bit like old man yells at clouds with this sort of stuff, because I'm not a fan. I'm a traditionalist in that respect. You always want to see your home teams wear the traditional home kits, and to be fair, this isn't the Real Madrid thing. You see it in other leagues. I've seen it in Serie A become quite a common occurrence. It is, does seem to be something that happens a lot. Teams release fourth kits and yeah, obviously there's a commercial standpoint to some of these decisions, but like you said, it is a strange strange thing to see Real Madrid playing at the Bernabeu without a white kit. It's not something I want to get used to.
No. I think someone was pointing out that it did happen only a couple of years ago with the, they played in black and Barca played in the Sonera kit, and that was, of course, the infamous 4-0 at the Bernabeu with Aubameyang scoring the hat-trick. But again, not one they wanted to live long on the memory, but this one was a much better result for Los Blancos. I remember Napoli as well bringing out about seven kits in one season. It's ridiculous. The game's gone. Anyway, Atletico, therefore, have the chance to go back into fourth spot should they win away at La Ceramica on Monday night. But of course, Villarreal themselves on the back of four straight wins in the league. Marcelino is coach of the month for February or March. And of course, Atleti have struggled on the road. So remains to be seen whether they'll take the opportunity to go back to fourth. Anyway, before the break, we'll talk about Barca because they face Las Palmas. Quite a strange game this because it was conditioned heavily by a sending off in the first half, which was very bizarre. I mean, we've all been impressed with Alvaro Valles this season, but what was he doing? He just come hurtling out of his goal and Rafinha basically does a somersault over the challenge and it's the clearest red card you'll ever see.
Yeah, it is a crazy, especially when you take into the context of kind of the opening 20 minutes where Barca had the ball in the net a couple of times and Las Palmas were really living on the edge. They were lucky to get through without conceding, and then for your goalkeeper just to come hurtling out. No real need to do it. And there was only one outcome once he kind of clattered into him. It was always going to be a red card, and then you leave your teammates with a mountain to climb. I did think it was quite strange because in some ways I thought the red card suited La Palmas in that before that they were incredibly open. It felt like Barcelona were kind of cutting through them at will. And there was obviously, once you go down to 10 men, there's a tendency to go a little bit more compact. So it obviously gave Barcelona a different challenge. But yeah, for your goalkeeper to do something, like you said, a goalkeeper that's been so good this season as well, to kind of come out and leave a team with a mountain to climb against the reigning champions is less than ideal.
It was. In the end, Barca did get the 1-0 win, a common scoreline under Xavi, of course, Rafinha, with the second half goal, having been denied in the first half too with quite a strange offside call, one of those deliberate play interventions which seems to take an age to work out in VAR and everyone disagreed about. But we won't dwell on that too long. Barca now face Luis Enrique and Kylian Mbappe of PSG in the Champions League in 10 days' time. And just after that, those two ties, two legs, it's the Clásico away from home on the 21st of April. So big month ahead for Xavi. Lots of talk coming out that they're trying to convince him to change his mind and stay, but he's been very firm and says, no, the decision will not change. I am going. But the form is good, Ben. So, I mean, lots can still happen. PSG could turn them over, you never know. But there is a bit of optimism at Barca, I would say, that there wasn't a couple of months ago.
Yeah, obviously they've been in exceptional form since he made the decision to leave. I also get that maybe they're trying to convince him to stay. I suppose in some ways for Xavi, it's a win-win situation now because he's taken the pressure off with that decision. If it had gone wrong and they had just ended the season kind of on a sour note, it would have been, okay, look, that's why I made the decision. We need to move on. Well, now, it might not necessarily be good for Barcelona because obviously he's going to move on whatever. But if he does finish the season really strongly, and who knows, they go really deep into the Champions League, his stock as a manager rises and other teams potentially become interested, where say he left in January, there would have probably been a little bit of a dark cloud, maybe some question marks still over his management. But since that decision, they've been impressive. I've said before on the podcast that I'm always a bit wary of saying whether that's been their form's been a direct consequence of the decision, because I'm not sure that's ever something you ever want, where a manager has to give up his job to spark that upturn in fortune. But yeah, they have. It is kind of been night and day between them recently. They've been unbelievable.
New manager bounce without the new manager. Could catch on. That's all we have time for in the first half of the show. When we come back, we'll look at the other six games in La Liga this weekend. And I'll be honest, listener, there wasn't many goals. So stick with us if you please. We'll be very grateful. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, our match day 30 recap. I'm here with Ben Sully. Real Sociedad were also beneficiaries of Betis' defeat at Girona, and they had a Basque derby of their own at Mendizorroza, and they won yet again, their third win in a row, which has very much renewed optimism in San Sebastian that they can qualify for Europe once more. John Pacheco with his first goal of the season. A nice little run they've been on. Granada, Cadiz, Alaves. Yes, games they should win, but off the back of the PSG game and the poor form they were in, it was certainly a run they needed.
Yeah, I think you could look at their European rivals, as it were, and go, they could have easily gone on the sort of run that Betis have been on after their Champions League exit. So for them to turn it round against easier opponents, if I would say that, but to still get the job done, yeah, it's been a good run of form. They should get sixth spot now, at least. That kind of looks nailed on. That's partly because of their good form and the drop off behind them, but I think coming out of the Champions League and the poor start to 2024, it's been a good confidence boost in the last few weeks, and kind of brings a bit of a feel good feeling around the place, because they're probably after the PSG defeat, there was certainly a sense that there'd been some missed opportunities this season, obviously in the Copa as well. So, yeah, it's a nice result against Alaves, obviously, to get a clean sheet. Feels kind of back to what Real Sociedad do well. Please be strong defensively, and that gives them the platform to build on and hopefully get the 3 points.
Indeed. Note of caution, though, just before we get ahead of ourselves, they do still have to play the top three. They have to still play Real Madrid, Barca and Atleti, as well as a trip to the Nido Villamarín. So there may still be a little bit of hope for Betis, but as it stands right now, the teams are going in opposite directions. So, yeah, a good weekend for Real Sociedad off the back of another previously good weekend. Osasuna headed to Almeria, fresh off the news that Diego Barrasate announced his departure at the end of the season. So this is kind of the Arrasate farewell tour. and it made its way to Andalusia to see Pepe Mel's Almeria. And fresh off the back of their win last time out, could they do it again? No. Osasuna made very short work of Almeria. 2 goals in the opening 10 minutes, yet another for Ante Budimir before a late one, or a second half one from Iker Muñoz, made it a comfortable 3 points for Osasuna. And you never know, they are potentially one of those teams that might be in the sniff for a Conference League place in seventh. Again, only 3 points off Betis now.
Yeah, I did give a small little plug. I did my article on Saturday about Arrasate leaving, and I think in it I wrote that the European places were kind of going to be out of their reach, and within a couple of days that's kind of turned on its head. They are well in it with in the top seven race, because yeah, they kind of had the game done and dusted, obviously 2-0 up in the first 10 minutes. Talking about managerial bounces earlier, poor old Pepe Mel's one lasted all of one game. And if you needed to see why Almeria are in the position they in, look at the second goal where there's a poor pass back and the goalkeeper, for some reason, instead of letting it go out, hooks it back into play. And Budimir, he's in brilliant form, has probably the easiest of finishes he's going to have all season. But yeah, Osasuna, slightly, again, I think alluding to that with the Betis poor form, they're bringing teams into it. And there you see like Osasuna, Villarreal, they've all these teams now have kind of come from nowhere. And they're in within a chance of getting a top seven spot if they can finish strongly over the next couple of months. Yeah, and whatever happens in regards to a top seven, Osasuna will want to get a good, stronger results to kind of send Arrasate off into the sunset, because he's been in a remarkable spell. He's been amazing for them, and whoever comes after him, it'll be really, really tough to replace, and it'll be interesting to see where he ends up next.
Indeed, yeah, a phenomenal coach and a great story at Osasuna. Speaking of big figures, Sergio Ramos turned 38 this weekend, and he celebrated it with the winning goal, the only goal of the game, at the Coliseum Alfonso Pérez, scoring from a corner early on in the game, as Kike Sanchez Flores' side went, of course, Kike saved Getafe a couple of years ago, didn't he, of course? Boy, that's very much the man in vogue at Getafe, but it was Sevilla who picked up a really important 3 points, because Getafe had been pretty strong at home since Bordalas' return, but this win for Sevilla gives them a nice 6-point cushion over the bottom three, and you would imagine possibly out of the immediate danger.
Yeah, I think it was a massive result to get them clear, give them a good buffer. Like you said, obviously Ramos on his birthday, I was worried they were going to put it down as an own goal, but I think it's gone down as a Ramos goal, especially after he did the especially as he did the celebration where he blew out his own cake. It was a big result for Sevilla. They had to ride up off a little bit of pressure at the end. Getafe were obviously trying to find an equalising goal, but yeah, they just couldn't get there in the end. And like you said, it's, I'd say, they're not obviously safe yet in terms of the points tally they're on, but you'd be surprised if they kind of give up that margin between now and the end of the season.
Certainly would. Speaking of the bottom, Cadiz kicked off the weekend with an Andalusian derby against Granada, and they got a massive win to give themselves still that chance. Robert Navarro with the only goal of that particular game. That put Cadiz very much in touch back with Celta and Rayo before those two teams faced off directly. Rayo headed to Balaidos, and again, Giraldez, his managerial bounce pretty much lasted just the one game, as Rayo held Celta to a goalless draw. And this one was not one to write home about. Neither side happy with this. It leaves Celta just 3 points clear of the drop and Rayo just five. So those two teams very much in Cadiz's sights.
Yeah, in regards to Cadiz, it was a massive win. A game against Granada for a neutral might not be necessarily the most thrilling of contests, but in terms of their fight to stay in the division, it was crucial. And I urge anyone who hasn't seen Cadiz's winner to go and watch it, because Robin Navarro, the way he brings that ball off out of the sky is ridiculous. I think it's a cross going to the back post for one of his teammates, but he just plucks it out of the air, and it's a brilliant finish. So deserving of winning the game, and they deserved that because they had dominated large parts of that game. In regards to Salta and Rayo, it was a game where both teams seemed to be wary of losing. But in the end, Salta probably edged it in regards to they've had more chances. Carlos Perez hit the bar in kind of the last kick of the game. And yeah, Salta may be slightly more disappointed because obviously they had home advantage and they probably looked the likelier team to go on and win. But even for Rayo, when you're playing against a relegation rival, you always feel there's that chance that if we get points, not only we add into our tally, but we're stopping our rivals adding to theirs. So yeah, Rayo maybe a little bit happier of the two teams, but yeah, slightly underwhelming for both sides.
Certainly was, and well, at least it keeps the relegation battle interesting for us, because at one stage we thought that it was pretty much done and dusted, but Cadiz are punching, they're still there. They'll be hoping to maintain the fight at least until the final stretch of the season, just to keep Celta and Rayo on their toes at least. The final game we haven't talked about was at Mestalla, Valencia-Mallorca. Apart from a potential penalty overturned, again, not a massive amount in this game. There was shots on target, there was some good moments, but in the end, a point apiece, clean sheets for both. Mallorca made some changes ahead of the cup final. They'll be very happy just to get through unscathed, and we'll look ahead to the final. But yeah, two teams that pretty much are quite comfortable where they are at the moment.
Yeah, probably a better point for Mallorca to add to their survival bid. Valencia are obviously within that top seven kind of race, but there has been quite a big drop off in recent weeks in terms of results. Maybe not necessarily too surprising in regards that that's a team that's made up of a lot of young players. Obviously, a season's long, and you are going to get that inconsistency throughout the season. But yeah, it's maybe, I don't know, a bit of fatigue and the season kind of, they're struggling to kind of stay the whole pace of the season. But they're still there. And obviously, like we said earlier, if they beat Granada later in the week, they will go into seventh spot. So nothing to necessarily worry about. They'll just feel it was a slightly missed opportunity against the Mallorca side that are obviously got one eye on the cup final, and yeah, they would have just be happy to get through that, and now they can start preparations for their big day.
Indeed, yeah. Much to look forward to for that side. That's the roundup done. Before we head on to something a little bit fun, we must mention that there were once again some racist chanting at a couple of games in Spain this week. There was Marcos Acuña was complaining of chants he had at Getafe. Kike Sanchez Flores was very strong in his press conference after the game. And a game between Sestao River and Rayo Majadahonda also had to be stopped. The Rayo Majadahonda players refusing to come back onto the pitch after their goalkeeper had suffered abuse from the stands and actually confronted a fan in that stand. So really disappointing scenes to see. And Vinicius was once again very strong speaking out about this. Obviously, he didn't play for Real Madrid this weekend, but he was very much still in the headlines for his words and his leadership on the anti-racism stances. And yeah, it seems to be an ever-growing problem within Spanish football at the moment.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It makes you angry. And yeah, it's got to be zero tolerance. And the frustrating bit is we keep having to talk about it because these incidents keep happening. And I know there's different people and organisations in charge of the different leagues and the games that you've just mentioned there. There needs to be, whether that's communication between different places and tougher sanctions, because whatever's being put in place at the moment obviously isn't working. And I know there is a trail of thought where people say, okay, it's the minority, but unfortunately in this case the minority do ruin it for the majority, and there needs to be tougher sanctions to warn off people from doing this, because it just doesn't belong in the game, it doesn't belong in society. And I don't think it's so disappointing, and I just there needs to be more needs to be done, and I don't know whether that's whole stadium closures, a sporting penalty. But I think don't think anything can be off the table, because to see these things keep happening is it's not right at all.
Mm, very well said, Ben. Let's end on a brighter note then. We have one hell of a race. If we don't have a league title race, we do have a race for the top scorer. The Pichichi race is really hotting up. Be honest, listener, who would have had Ante Budimir as joint top scorer after match day 30? Or even Artem Dovbik? Even Jude Bellingham, potentially, already on 16 goals. Those three lead the pack. And then behind them, Borja Mayoral, the leading Spanish scorer, Alvaro Morata, Alexander Sorloth, Gorka Gruteta, Lewandowski, Hugo Duro, Vinicius, Griezmann, Jorgen Strand Larsen, Rodrigo, and William Jose, and Youssef En-Nesyri, Gerard Moreno, all on 10 or more goals. That's 16 players in double figures. It's exciting because for so many seasons there's been at least one outstanding leader, whether it was Messi, Cristiano, Luis Suarez, Karim Benzema. But now we've got a genuine race where you don't know who's going to win that Pichichi. So who would your money be on if you had to guess or predict?
I think I'd go Dovbik, purely because Girona just love scoring goals and they will continue to score goals even if results don't go their way. I think Dovbik might edge it. Jude obviously is there partly because obviously how good he was towards the start of the season, but it's still slightly thing where you think, okay, this is still an attacking midfielder rather than a striker, and we kind of got used to seeing him sitting up high in the scoring charts. But if you would have said that him coming in when he came into the club, you would have gone, okay, maybe 10 goals or something around that margin and get into double digits. But to see him there is quite impressive. But is he gonna, I'm not sure if he's gonna outscore Dovbik between now and the end of the season. Just looking at it now, obviously Boyo Mayoral's out injured. Budimir is maybe someone that's kind of gone under the radar in regards to how good of a season he's having. And if Osasuna do mount a proper top seven challenge, he's certainly going to be there. I suppose it obviously depends on who's gonna stay fit, but there is so many there.
He's having the best 2024, I'd say, Budimir. I mean, Bellingham's only scored 3 goals in the league since Christmas. Dovbik, before this game, had actually been on a real drought. 7 games without a goal after his hat-trick against Sevilla in January, before the brace against Betis. So his goals tend to come more in gluts than streaks. Sorloth's in great form. Gruteta, they could mount a late charge if the guys at the top sort of stutter a bit. But yeah, we could genuinely have a sub-20 Pichichi. And one from a club that you would not have expected to see. So that's another reason to keep looking out for La Liga as we head towards the end of the season. It's another reason to subscribe to our Substack, llonline.substack.com. That's where you get all the content, including Ben's great article on Arrasate, and plenty of coverage as we head towards the Copa del Rey final and, of course, the return of the Champions League as it gets very exciting. Ben, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your Easter.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Not a problem. Pleasure is all mine. And thank you, listeners, for taking the time to get through the pod. Second half of the show, I'll admit, wasn't that much to talk about in terms of the games, but we did our best to make it a good show for you, and we'll always do that. So thanks again. Subscribe if you haven't already, and we'll speak to you again very soon with a Copa del Rey final preview. Until then, adios.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.